Okay, start now.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the NerdWatch Podcast. I, of course, am G-Money. Welcome to
Aloha Tuesday.
And welcome, everybody.
Or Aloha.
Two shows tonight. We're going to be doing two shows. Hopefully, they're both arable. But we'll see how that goes tonight. We are joined.
There's a weird curly hair on my mic.
Stop it. We're joined.
No, legit. Look.
Okay.
Oh, that was my mic last week.
All right. Hey, listen, we got to have the semblance of some kind of show here. Joining us tonight, of course, is the punk rock superstar himself to my left. Gannon is back in the house, officially been rehired to the Nerd Watch.
It's because I got that raise.
Yeah, and then, of course, the one and only artist extraordinaire.
Wait, you get paid?
The artist extraordinaire, the man who is responsible for Disco Thunder Groovebone, and ladies and gentlemen, issue 9 of the Kikui Project is hitting store shelves. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Todd Bernardi, who's in the house tonight as well. Also joining us tonight is, he is the cinema scholar we like to call Aaron. He is in the house tonight as well.
Now that I'm looking at Aaron, it says that Danny DeVito drew that Black Panther poster.
No, it doesn't.
Make Aaron move.
Wait, oh, it does. It says DeVito.
Danny DeVito drew that. Yeah. I bet you guys didn't know he could draw.
Certainly, last but not least on the panel tonight, he is the professor of cinema. He is also my cinema soulmate, you call him, I call him friend, the rest of you call him Professor Barry's in the house tonight as well. Actually holds a degree in cinema.
What are your qualifications, Greg?
That he and I share the same room. Yeah. I don't know if
G-Money's
you guys know this.
Qualifications is I've seen a movie.
Can I see that book for a minute? Yes. I don't know if you guys know this, but I wrote this book. My pen name is Rod Whitaker. It's called The Language of Film. You can look it up. Check it out.
His name is Rod.
No, that's my pen name, Rod Whitaker.
Sure it is.
The Language of Film. Check it out. That's what I know about.
Don't just throw
that's
that
what
around.
I know about.
It's a classic.
Movies and stuff.
Just put it on pizza willy nilly like it doesn't mean anything.
God.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. We will be getting into comic book talk once Alika joins us next hour.
He's too busy shoving pizza down his face.
Yeah, we'll be talking about what's late and great in the comic books this week. But first, let's get some stuff out of the way. This week is going to be, or this Sunday, I believe. Is it Sunday?
Is it Sunday?
Sunday, March 4th, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be the Oscars. That's right.
Boo.
The Oscars.
Hashtag Oscars, no Black Panther.
So the Oscars will be here. We'll be airing this Sunday night. And we'll be
hosting the whole show.
This will be... You know it would be awesome if we could do that one time? Like, if we could get the Oscars and we could, like, do a commentary while we're watching it?
No, that's that Oscars, sounds terrible.
Oscars party.
That sounds like the most horrible idea.
We could do, like, Oscars an Oscar party.
What do you do? What do you do for the Oscars?
I used to do an Oscar party. I never miss it.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
See? We should do something like that.
I used to be like Barry. Like, I never missed it. But, you know, the last few years have been kind of... I've lost a little interest in it. Everybody gets...
It's because of liberal Hollywood?
Yeah, it's a lot to do with liberal Hollywood. But, yeah, I'm more of a Paddy Chayefsky guy. I like what he said when Vanessa Redgrave decided to get all political. And he said, hey, everybody hold all their political views. This is a show about movies. So everybody shut up and sit down. Just say your thank yous and then move on. But, hey.
Yeah, just thank Jesus.
Right? Thank Jesus. That's what everybody
And your mom.
Do. And your mother.
Right? No, your mom, not his mom.
Oh, my mom.
Yeah. Your mom, not his mom.
Well, that's true. It's a good point.
Well, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, he said your mom. Yeah, he didn't say my mom.
Yeah, actually.
Stupid.
I'm going to be so mad if nobody thinks my mom. For their Oscar. It's her birthday today. Happy birthday, Mom.
Boy. Oh, by the way, before I forget, do want to say that Fournette will be joining us next hour as well. And, of course, the ladies and gentlemen, we like to call him the Chinese George Clooney. Silent Sean is in the house tonight as well. He is here with us as well this evening. So excited.
Lunge into frame.
Yeah.
Sean Mohan.
Yeah.
Can we say your last name? Okay.
We always have. He's right. We got to do the thing because he's a police detective. Remember in his movie?
I'm aware. That's why I just said Chinaman.
Sean Mohan? Yeah, come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on,
do
Todd.
It.
Let's go.
Chinaman.
There it is.
It's karate hand.
It's funnier when you make the white guy do it.
Yeah, it's true.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
No.
It's fantastic.
No, now it's a hate crime.
Yeah. Want to let you guys know that you can download the podcast on iTunes, on Audioboom, and on Stitcher. You can also download the Maui Watch app and listen to the shows as well. Just look for the Maui Radio Network, and all of the Nerd Watch podcasts will be there, along with like the Righteous Roger Reggae show as well, so you can check that out too. So
make sure you just say the racist Walter Reggae show?
No, that is not even close to what I said.
What did you say?
I said the Righteous Roger Reggae show.
Oh.
Yeah.
My apologies to Righteous Roger.
Yeah. So check that out. And, of course,
He's not racist. I want to go on the record. He's not racist.
You can download.
He's a major rager.
Yeah. So make sure you guys check it out. Download the Maya Watch app on Google and on iTunes. And also, you guys can donate to the podcast at patreon.com/TheNerdWatch.
Or you can just give us money if you see us.
If you feel so compelled to donate to a bunch of crazy misfits like us to keep the show going.
That's Patreon.
Yeah, patreon.com/TheNerdWatch. Same difference. All right. So first of all, before we get started on the Oscar talk tonight, Gannon, where have you been?
I've been everywhere but here.
That's what I wanted to know. Yeah. Anything you can discuss?
Huh?
Anything you can discuss?
Not really. I mean, we've been recording, so we're getting a little closer to the finish line on that.
Ooh.
I've been listening to mixes as I've been driving, so that's going good.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Did you say you're finishing courting?
Recording.
No, recording.
Oh, for some reason you said I thought you said courting, and I thought
I didn't say race quoting either.
No, because I thought you were going to like pop the question to your girlfriend or something. That's what I sounded
like.
No,
why would I do that here? She's not watching.
I know, but that's the whole point. So you could,
she would never watch this.
Whatever surprises could be done on this show.
I'll be like, hey, did you watch the show tonight? Because I totally proposed to you. That would go over well.
That would go over really well. Well, we can make plans. Let's make plans.
You mean the show I never watched?
She's like, ugh, that show? Hey, well, I guess you're never going to then.
Hey, can I officiate?
Huh?
Your wedding. Can I officiate your wedding?
No.
I'll marry you.
She doesn't like you, that's why.
She don't like Greg either.
She doesn't like me.
She hates Greg. She doesn't like you.
There you go. No. Is it
the beard?
She loves Format. She likes Sean. She hasn't met Barry or Aaron yet, so we'll see how that one goes.
She doesn't like me?
No.
What'd I do?
I don't know. It might be white or something. I don't know what it is. I can't explain it. I like you. That's all that should matter.
That is all that matters.
Yeah. That's the only thing that should matter.
Yeah.
Sean likes you too.
Oh, that's good.
That's why he grew a beard.
You can look past my white privilege and
absolutely
see the person.
Absolutely.
Inside.
I don't see color like Greg.
I like how I get thrown under the bus for all this crap.
That is a direct quote of yours.
That is true.
I don't see color.
I don't.
Yeah, you went to Black Panther. You're just like, hey, it could be anybody.
I could see color.
Dan Aykroyd playing Black Panther for all I know.
Could have been.
It could have been.
It would have been an amazing performance, by the way. A Canadian playing Black Panther. Dan Aykroyd is T'Challa.
I could watch that movie.
I could too. That's what I'm saying. It'd be awesome. Oh my gosh. Anyway, listen.
Lazarus.
We got to get Professor Barry on and talk about where he's been, any movies he's been watching lately,
I don't think he's been watching too many movies lately.
Interesting. Well, Professor Barry, could you could you answer for these rumors that are being spread about you?
No, I've been watching movies. I didn't see Black Panther. I haven't seen it yet. Every time I go to the theater, it's completely sold out. And and the weekend that it came out, I had the choice between basically just kind of sitting at the movie theater all day, kind of waiting for a showing to open, or review The Dark Crystal. And I chose to review The Dark Crystal.
Ah, you did. Yes, did. You did. Yeah. Also, I do know that you also reviewed 50 Shades Freed.
I sure did.
Any other notable movies that you...
No stars, folks. No stars.
You want to know the story behind that? Because I actually gave it one single star. And then my editor, Anthony, said, you know, sorry, Bear, I got to give it zero. I'm like, why do you give it zero? He's like, you didn't like anything about it. And I said, that's not true. I wrote in my review, there's that one scene where they're like in a bubble bath together and there's like this huge window in front of them. And he's like, how long is that scene? I'm like... 8 seconds. Like, yeah, I didn't like it. Zero stars. So I got downgraded to zero. So.
Wow. Well, what was it? Do you want to talk about that at all? Why you gave it?
Certainly can, since I'm sitting next to one of the world's biggest 50 Shades fans. So
yeah, Greg.
Yeah. I'm such a huge 50 Shades fan. Thanks, Aaron.
Hey, did you
appreciate
see
that?
Did you see it?
No. Hell no.
Why not?
I haven't seen any of them.
Why?
I have no desire.
He doesn't take his job as a critic very, very seriously.
Did you watch The Hunger Games?
I have not finished The Hunger Games. I've only seen the first one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Battle Royale?
Of course. That movie's awesome.
Yeah, so like, did you see in the Twilight movies?
I've seen every single one of those stupid movies.
And you haven't watched 50 Shades Freed?
I gave
you're,
her...
You're,
and
your
that one, they're married, dude.
The only reason
I only
why
sort I, of know that from the poster.
The only reason why I gave Twilight a shot was because it was the whole vampire versus werewolf thing, and I thought, okay, maybe I can get into it. Couldn't get into it.
Wow,
it
you garbage. Really thought that, yeah. Huh?
And then I found out it was like a Mormon parable, and I was freaking out, so I was like, what the hell's going on?
You gotta stop listening to those radio shows. Aaron, did you...
He went like, there for the chicks.
did you like... you like 50 Shades Freed, right?
Yeah.
Did you see the Twilight movies?
I did.
Do you see the parallel between Twilight and 50 Shades of Grey? Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah.
Do you... Which one do you prefer?
50 Shades.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd rather sit through that.
Right.
I don't know. Twilight is... I think I like the last ones out of the most for Twilight.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Those are the ones that nobody really liked.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, let's get
You're
back.
You're so radical.
Let's get back to Professor Barry. What is it about 50 different. Shades Freed? I mean, you said you actually kind of enjoyed the first one because of it, I guess, shticky. Kind of.
I think I didn't use the word shtick. No, they're all. I think.
Sticky?
No, no, yeah. I didn't. I didn't use that word.
I used that word. Oh, yeah,
it's great. No, I didn't like any of them. I
broom
did.
Handily.
I did look at the original more favorably after the last two, and I know Aaron and I talked about this. The first film was directed by Sam Taylor Johnson, who's married to Aaron Taylor Johnson. Sorry, the actor. And she made a really stylish first movie. And the first film actually, it actually has a sense of humor for about 40 minutes. Like, it feels like a parody of it. Like, it doesn't feel like they're doing a serious movie at all. It feels like they're actually doing a spoof of the whole thing, which I thought was really smart.
Nice.
And then about an hour in, it becomes kind of like a 90s Madonna music video. Not in a very favorable sense at all. And yet, those scenes are long. Those scenes are very bold. And the movie itself, I thought, was not only tasteless but also disturbing in some interesting ways. All that to say, like, the first movie seems like a really bold film compared to the last two, which feel like soap operas. They feel very safe, very, very cookie cutter, which is odd because at first it felt like seeing a 50 Shades movie, certainly seeing the first movie felt like being part of this really naughty social phenomenon. It felt like this is a really daring thing to do, that everybody was seeing this mainstream movie that had, you know, for American films, the amount of sex and nudity was pretty unprecedented. Now these movies feel kind of obligatory. Like the last couple Twilights. I feel like it's not just that these movies aren't good, it's just that they don't have anything about them that makes them special. And the first film, take it or leave it, it is a beautifully shot film. It's full of iconic moments and iconic cinematography, iconic music. In fact, on my drive over here, I heard some 50 Shades tunes in the soundtrack. Yeah, no question. I think the first movie, for all the things about it, I really didn't like. It has stayed, and it did make its mark in pop culture. The sequels, I feel, they felt like complete afterthoughts to me. And it's directed by James Foley, who's a good director. The director of Glengarry Glen Ross.
The director of Fear,
by the way. Fear at Close Range. He's a good director, and you'd never guess that from this.
See, 50 Shades Freed could have easily been a Fear.
Yeah,
I think.
Definitely.
But
by the way, for those that don't know Fear, it's with Mark Wahlberg, and he's a...
Yeah.
Woo! Heck yeah, man. Love that movie.
Who doesn't know that movie?
Yeah.
And if you don't, shame on you.
Nah, shame on you. Yeah. Now,
I think I just hurt myself.
Now you. Yeah. Also, Professor Barry, we'll get to you here in a second, Mr. Aaron. You also got to watch, you both actually got to watch two movies that were brand new this weekend.
Yeah.
Let's start with you because it's more on the Nerd Watch tip. And that is, of course, Stop It. I regret you coming back. Anyway.
Me too.
I know. you watched a movie that I have been hotly anticipating.
Whoa.
And that is Alex
Smurfs
Garland's...
3.
No, Alex Garland's follow-up to Ex Machina, which is the Natalie Portman starring Annihilation.
Yes.
She took... apparently, in the last couple of, I guess the last week or so of before the movie's release, there was a bit of a controversy.
Yes,
with her. Apparently, the woman she portrays in the film, in the book that it's based on, is an Asian woman, and I guess there was a bit of a controversy about that. So
whitewashing,
kind of what it is. But Annihilation, I was very excited about it. Oscar Isaac. Natalie Portman, directed by Alex Garland, and I'm just super excited. What do you think of Annihilation?
I feel like you're saying Natalie Portman isn't Asian.
Yes, I'm saying that.
Okay, just checking. Because she's not.
It's an interesting controversy, and the director addressed it. And I do admire the director, even though I haven't really been a fan of his work. But he's a smart guy, and what he said about – to address that directly was that in the first book – it's based on the Southern Reach trilogy, which I haven't read yet. And he said that in the first book, no one's ethnicity is ever addressed. It isn't until the second book. And he's – you know, this is strictly an adaptation of the first book, and he basically – casted it according to how he felt the roles were fit. And this is actually one of the most racially diverse casts I've ever seen for a film, any American film. It's a really smartly cast movie. Tessa Thompson's in it, who's wonderful. Jennifer Jason Leigh is in it, who's wonderful. It's a really interesting cast, and it's a cast full of different races and ethnicities. That's not really a problem. It's interesting that this is the controversy that came up, because actually that's actually one of the best things
No one said anything until like days before we're supposed to open.
It's an odd thing. The other controversy about the film, of course, is that there was a studio change, and they didn't know quite what to do with it after the failure of Mother. Paramount was kind of worried about, like, well, we got another weird movie here. We don't really know what to do with. How do we market this film? It's not really a genre film. It's much more off the cuff than that.
Didn't Paramount studio head? Wasn't he relieved of his duties because of the way Paramount was moving in that very odd direction as far as their
films? Not sure. There's been so many weird things. I mean, really quickly, without dovetailing too much, my favorite story to come out of Paramount was last year they lost about $150 million on a movie called Monster Trucks. Anybody see that one?
No.
Monster Trucks. Here's what happened.
I know about it. I haven't seen it.
It's an insane story, and it's a true story. The studio was like, what do? We got the Transformers genre. We got Star Trek. What do we got?
The behind-the-scenes story is a true story, not Monster Trucks, right?
No. Well, the behind-the-scenes story of Monster Trucks that the studio heads are going like, what do we got? We don't have our franchises are running low. We don't have anything. So this executive goes home. He watches his kids playing. And his little boy is like, it's a monster truck, Dad. He's like, no, yes, son, that's really cute. He's like, no, Dad, there's a monster. It's living in the truck. And it's a monster truck. It's a monster truck. And he's like, uh-huh. And he's like running it down. Yeah, what else does it do? And it has a monster in it. He goes to the executive board meeting the next day and says, I got an idea for a movie, guys. Just hear me out.
No way.
Monster trucks.
Are you messing with us?
It's about monsters that live in trucks. And they have battles, monster truck battles, because they're monster trucks. And they're like, brilliant. So they spent $150 million in this movie with no stars in it. It's the guy who stars in it. He was the new the new MacGyver.
MacGyver, right.
Yeah, which is long gone now. And they held on to the movie. Like, it kept getting pushed down the schedule. And they finally released it last January. And it just completely died.
Wow.
And they had spent a fortune on this movie that nobody had heard of, starring somebody they'd never heard of, no stars, $150 million for a CGI children's
truck. Are you serious?
Movie.
That's the story?
Isn't that a nutty story?
How could it not be the story?
I mean,
did you see the trailer of this movie?
No. What I'm saying is a dad comes home and sees his kid playing with monster trucks and saying, oh, the monsters live in the trucks?
They released this story. And I think Paramount, they must have thought, like, this is such an endearing story. When this movie's a blockbuster, people are going to love that story. No, if anything, it's like the story is better than the movie.
Okay.
So Paramount's been having a hard time. And that's one of the reasons that Annihilation was originally a prestige film. They pushed it back a few times. Now it's a Netflix release overseas. Everywhere except the U.S. is getting it on Netflix.
Right.
So it's been kind of it's treated kind of like it's a like a Cloverfield paradox situation.
Now, it's ironic you bring it up because are there any parallels to the fact that this is a sci-fi film? Is it in Cloverfield vein? Is it like that? Does it have that feel to it of a monster movie?
It's definitely a monster movie, but it's also, and I don't want to put too much of a point because I don't like to phrase it this way, but you would say it's a thinker. And I think because it's a thinker and because it's a sci-fi film, the last big sci-fi thinker was Blade Runner, which was a very expensive flop for everybody involved, unfortunately, despite the quality of the film. So I think they were kind of being cautious about, okay, we're just going to have to dump it in February and see how it does.
See, and here's the thing, is that maybe this is – maybe I'm wrong about this, but this is why we don't have sci-fi films like we used to have. They don't make any money. The Transformers movies make money. You know what I mean? I don't, so we can't have nice things like Blade Runner 2049. They really can't.
We did, though.
Yeah, but the thing is that we're not – I don't know if we're going to get that again you know, we can't have Annihilation because I don't know. I haven't heard the review yet.
But do they need to be huge blockbuster films? Because we do get really interesting indie films in this kind of
game. I will say this.
It does happen. It's just not in theaters.
Because of, and I bring this up, and it's, I have to, because of Marvel. Marvel has done one thing to the movie industry and the way we watch movies. And has
ruined
done,
it.
Okay. I was going to get to that. But the positive thing is now it seems like
there's nothing positive about Marvel's Marvel.
Marvel's Disney, the Marvel movies have become these tent poles for the summer and the winter. Regardless.
You really think it's Marvel that did that?
No. You're misunderstanding me.
Just.
Let me finish my thought. What I'm saying is that these movies are huge movies. The Star Wars franchise, the Marvel franchise, a huge movie in the last 15 years, right? Now, because of that, movies that we would never expect to see in January and in February and in September and even October, we're getting these other movies that are big movies, you would assume would be bigger movies on smaller budgets in off seasons. So, you know, something like Annihilation is something I don't think I'd ever see in February. I would think that that would be like a spring break film, yeah. A March or April. You know what I mean? So the nice thing is that now we're seeing, instead of January becoming the dumping ground of Hollywood, we actually sometimes get some quality movies in January. Yep. We got Black Panther in February. Now
do
Marvel's
I need to bring up why that happened again?
No, what I'm saying is, I get that, but what I'm saying is, I mean, Marvel could take the off seasons away from the smaller movies.
Again, I don't think I think you're missing. I think you're
I know it's Black
not taking
History
into account
month.
What month February is.
I understand that. I understand that completely. I'm just well, Marvel,
and
I'm
the
just
fact that just a few months after that Avengers, and then a few months after that Ant-Man.
What I'm saying is that we don't see those unique movies anymore, like Annihilation.
I don't think Marvel's going to have something every February either, though. I think Black Panther was an isolated type of incident.
Look at Deadpool. Same thing, February 14th.
That has nothing to do with Marvel, though.
But still, what I'm saying is that we
it's
got
Marvel, but tangentially.
Right.
Marvel's not making
but my
any
point
money
is that these
movie.
Huge tentpole movies now, the one nice thing is that now they've pushed these other movies, these smaller movies, into off seasons, and it's possibly become a place where they can thrive, but I don't know.
Split came out in January.
Right. Split came out in January.
When did The Arrival come out? Do you guys remember?
Oh, that was a fall movie.
Yeah, that was October. Remember, we saw it together. Was it October?
Yeah, I guess
yeah,
so.
You guys were on a date and everything.
Yeah. Remember?
Do you remember even watching the movie?
I mean, we were making out, but I mean, did you?
I didn't even sit next to you.
Yeah, you did. You liar. Anyway,
outside of Christopher Nolan, sci-fi doesn't typically succeed when it has a big budget.
Right.
Christopher Nolan, he is the guy when it comes to, like, let's have a multi-million dollar cast, let's have a multi-million budget, let's use a script that not only is scientifically ambitious, but difficult. That's the thing about Inception that I got to give all the credit in the world.
Love
it's
Inception.
Amazing that he got that script made. That script is impossible. It's a brilliant script, but if you read it for 40 pages, it doesn't make a frickin' lick of sense. You need to read that thing over and over. It is such a dense and difficult script and brilliant. I love that. That was my favorite film in 2010. Mm. But the fact that guy even got that movie made, with or without DiCaprio, that film is such a risk.
Now, would you say that this, getting back to Annihilation, was this movie in that vein? Like, was this a risk for Paramount?
It's a definite risk, and I don't think it's going to pay off.
How expensive of a movie was it?
It was about $50 million.
Not too
bad. Which isn't too bad, but still, all the money's on the screen, too. It's a big film.
Now, you don't have to go into too much detail, because I'm assuming that we don't want to get into spoiler territory for
this
kind of movie.
No, you definitely don't. Yeah.
It's all a dream. Turns out she really was Asian.
That would be awesome. But ultimately, is it one of those films where we see ourselves? Are the performances good, or I mean, what I should say? Are the performances good and the story is lacking, or is the story good, the performance is lacking?
Of everything. All of the actors have been directed, I don't know why, to speak in a hushed whisper throughout the entire film.
Oh my God!
Gosh,
so it's like Jupiter Ascending.
You know what's bizarre about it? It's like Eyes Wide Shut. Like, why is everybody? You know, and then that's Kubrick. But it's a similar thing where you're going, why is everybody talking like this the entire film? It's really bizarre. I have no idea what
they're
the motivation
not to
is.
Have the monsters chase them.
And the monsters are good looking, but like I was telling you before the show, the first monster out of the box is a giant alligator. It's like right out of Blake Placid. It's goofy. It gets the movie off to a really poor start. The film has bits of The Mist. It's got bits of what is it? The We're just talking about the
Follow That Bird.
The one with
Captain Neo.
The one with Sam Neill and Lawrence Fishburne.
Event Horizon.
Thank you, Event Horizon.
It's
got a so close.
Jurassic Park.
It's got a lot of Arrival in it, oddly enough too. It feels like a mishmash of a lot of other science fiction movies. The film that it probably should have tried to be the most like is Altered States, because it does have that kind of ambition, but it's also not fun. It's not a fun movie at all. It's a real chore to sit through.
Now, Noah in the chat brings up some Ex Machina, of course. I'm a huge fan of Ex Machina. Okay. That was Alex Garland's first directorial
this
film.
Is the author of The Beach becoming a filmmaker, which is very unique.
Now, he also brings up another film, which is directed by Danny Boyle, called Sunshine.
Yes.
Which is very good. Did not Alex Garland write that? I mean, I'm not too sure.
I think he did.
He did, right?
I believe that's right.
Yeah, he wrote that.
And 28 days later.
Right.
The movie's great until they had to throw a villain in at the last minute.
That was dumb. Like, the last half an hour was stupid. That was dumb. It was good for the two-thirds of the film, and then it just kind of...
It's still visually rich. I got to hand it to the movie. Even when it goes off the rails, it's still such a visually rich and interesting film to watch.
Right. So ultimately, though, Arrival, for someone like me, because I love sci-fi movies. I like sci-fi that challenges you. I like that. Is this a film that I'm going to go into and go, oh, okay, it may not be perfect, but I understand where they're going with it? Or what's...
It's challenging just because it's so crazy, but I found the plot to be really predictable. Not just because it reminded me of so many other films. It's pretty obvious from the very start where this film is going, where it has to go. And once it finally gets there, I got to hand it to it. The film, the last 20 minutes is just kind of this fireworks display of CGI, and some of it's really pretty amazing. But it's also really silly. It's hard. It's one of these movies like Mother, where it's going to divide people. Some people are going to find it very profound. Other people are going to be like, come on. And that's definitely the camp that I fall into.
You are predicting for Annihilation to be like Mother?
Definitely.
Wow.
It's that extreme.
Really?
Well, let me put it this way. My friend Claire, I called her because she has read the Southern Reach trilogy. And this is minor spoiler, but I'm trying to make a point. Because I said, like, you know, what's it about? Because I'm like, I really want to know what the movie is like versus the book. And she described it to me, and it sounded really lyrical and poetic the way she described it. So I said, is there a scene in the book where a guy, like, rips open his stomach and then a big lizard comes out and he, like, erotically touches it? She's like, ew, no. That's a big scene in the film.
I want to see this now. A guy erotically touches his lizard, dude. I'm in.
Is it a metaphor? Who knows?
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
I
want to
see this.
I wish I hadn't been listening, because that would have been amazing for me to
seeing it.
Are you kidding me? Now I'm going to see this.
Seeing it and my description are two very, very different things.
So for you, your review on this is where are you putting it in your
story? I did not like the film at all.
Okay.
I wanted to go with it. I swear I tried. And after a while, I just said, I give up. I give up way before the ending, which is beyond crazy.
Now, you had said something earlier about it kind of wanting to be like Arrival. Noah in the chat also said the same thing.
Yeah.
But how is it that possible when Arrival was so good? I mean, for at least for me.
I think there's an emotional core there. Arrival is a mother-daughter film, and I think it succeeds just on that pure level.
Right.
This is not that. It has no emotional core, whatever. There's a subplot.
Oh, like Black Panther.
Hey, don't ruin it for him. He hasn't seen it yet.
He
hasn't seen it yet.
There's this is no spoiler territory, but there's a subplot in this movie. And by the way, it is edited a lot like Arrival, where you're seeing flashbacks, flash forwards. You're kind of wondering how everything fits together. And it does eventually explain it. But there's a subplot about Natalie Portman having an affair with her work colleague. And it's one of these subplots that just goes absolutely nowhere. The film doesn't have anybody to root for. You. Even though it's Natalie Portman playing a character, it's Jennifer Jason Leigh, you're not rooting for anybody. You're just, it's a cast of ladies. It's five women who are scientists, and they are armed with guns, and they're going into this, you know, exploring this phenomenon. And it's a really great setup, but it's basically a slasher movie with special effects. It's a slasher movie. They're killed off one by one, and all in a very predictable way. And when you finally get to the last person, any guess who that is? It ends in exactly the way that you think it would. I think there's clearly technical brilliance on the part of Garland, who's a good director. But I don't think this is a great film at all.
Bummer, man. I'm so bummed. This is the movie I was looking forward to.
Really?
Very much looking forward to it.
You know, you could go see it and like it for yourself. You don't really have to.
Well, no. I mean,
you have to listen to me.
You don't have to form
Barry's, I don't want to. Once I get Barry's opinion, I don't want to watch it.
Oh, man. Imagine when you hear what he has to think about Transformers.
I know. Well, I know. He and I definitely differ on The Last Night. I love that movie.
Did you like The Last Jedi?
The Last Jedi.
Let's just ask him what movies he's seen.
I know, right? What are you doing
now?
I'm just curious because I kind of felt like there's a subplot in that movie that didn't go anywhere. Sort of similar to Annihilation. That's I'm not reaching here. I just think that there's a...
I'm just joking around.
Yeah. Why are you always criticizing me in front of the other guy?
I criticize everybody. No. What are you talking about? I wanted him fired.
I saw Greg immediately after I walked out of that theater, and I said, you know, there's things in that movie I don't like at all. But I got to hand it to it. That movie is really trying stuff. Really trying things. I'm okay with Star Wars having peaks and valleys because I think Star Wars peaked. I think we all need to be grown-ups about it. Sorry, but Star Wars peaked in the 80s.
I was trying to say that.
Star Wars is never going to get better than it was.
Amen.
For those movies, even Return of the Jedi. I don't care what people have against that movie. That movie is a masterpiece. They're all perfect films. And I think it's okay that Star Wars is going to peak and going to have peaks and valleys for the rest of our lives, and they're going to keep making these movies. And it's never going to be as good as Empire.
Wait till Solo comes out, and it's amazing. You know it's going to be amazing.
I don't
think
that's
different
true.
Directors, they completely reshoot the whole thing. That thing's going to be a cinematic masterpiece. He doesn't know
it's going to be
about.
I think it's going to be Star Wars Suicide Squad.
Huh?
I think it's going to be the Star Wars franchise.
No,
Suicide
I heard
Squad.
You. I was just trying to compute that just now.
I have to tell you that I am I'm disappointed to hear about Annihilation. I still want to see it though. Now Professor Barry, you, sir, are not the only one that have seen a movie this weekend. Also, the cinema scholar himself, Aaron, has as well. He watched
the
film...
Hold on. Uh-huh. So he's the professor. Mm-hmm. He's the scholar.
Correct, sir.
What does that make you? Trash man.
No, I'm the sensei.
The sensei now?
Yeah. Whoa.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoa.
See, another white guy taking Asian roles.
Yeah. Whitewashing.
You're Tilda
here.
Swinton of this show.
Right, yeah. I'm the sensei of
He's
cinema.
He's whitewashing Miyagi over
but
here.
But Aaron, the cinema scholar himself, went to go see the film starring Jason Bateman and Rachel McAdams called Game Night.
I saw two, actually. Double feature.
And what was the other
so
one?
I took one for the team because I know nobody else would watch it every day.
You watched every day?
Yeah,
that's
I did.
Right.
I watched
I don't
that first.
Know what that is.
Wait, did you pay your own money to see it?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
No, he took your money out of your wallet to go see it.
So, all right.
Actually, it wasn't that bad.
All right, well, let's get to Game Night first because right. there hasn't been much fanfare about it. Matter of fact, we didn't know about it until a couple of months ago when the trailer finally came out and was very little
critics
advertisement.
Love it, though,
but yeah, so what's going on with this movie? What's the deal? What's with Game Night?
It is so good.
Really?
It is. It's a must-see. It really is. It's imagine David Fincher's The Game as a comedy. That's basically what this is.
Nice.
And they even filmed it. The directors of the very bad Vacation reboot.
Yeah.
But the writers of Horrible Bosses.
Whoa! The directors.
Yeah. Of Vacation.
I hated Vacation.
But they completely have redeemed themselves.
Really?
Seriously.
Wait. Even Chris Hemsworth in the Vacation.
Okay. Movie? Chris Hemsworth is the shining light in that film. I agree. Okay,
but they did write Horrible Bosses 1 and 2.
You can, and I do.
Horrible Bosses 1 and 2. The first one was okay. The second one...
The second one was better.
There was a Horrible Bosses 2? Where was I?
Yeah. You didn't know that?
I guess I missed out.
With Chris Pine.
So, the bosses find out, and they try to kill their employees.
Okay, so let's set up the... now this one you can set up the premise for. Annihilation was a little tougher, but set up the premise for Game Night. What's going on?
It's basically Jason Bateman and his wife, Rachel McAdams, have...
We did? Oh, bummer.
DJ already said that the thing's all screwed up.
All right, we'll fix it. Anyway, what was it?
They have two groups of friends, and they all get together for game night once a week. And then Bateman's brother comes into town to show off that he's a big businessman. And he makes his own game night, which is he makes it into a murder mystery sort of thing. He says there's going to be a fake kidnapping coming in, and somebody's going to be taken. And once you solve all the clues and find the kidnap victim, you win his stingray and
the car.
Oh, I thought you meant the animal.
I did too.
It's like, what's that?
Kyle Chandler.
Okay.
Yeah, and he does really well. He does really well, and a real kidnapping actually happens in the home, and everyone is clueless. Everyone thinks it's part of the game, and he's trying to tell them that, but nobody listens. And that's how the movie goes on from there. They just have to try and find his brother. And so many things happen. There's constant.
it's funny, obviously.
Yeah.
It's a comedy. Oh, yeah. But is it also suspenseful, thrilling kind of thing as well?
Yeah, or? There's actually good action sequences. There's good car chases. There's like a the fight scene between Kyle Chandler and the kidnappers is actually really well done. There's a lot of good bits. There's a lot of good bits.
So for this movie is getting highly praised, but of course this movie is being buried underneath the beast that is the Black Panther.
I'm not sure that's not racist or not.
It's not, but anyway.
But I really think it'll get word of mouth, and more people will see it.
We haven't seen Bateman in a while. I mean, as far as movies go,
I swear to God, that guy's got a new movie every year.
The last thing he was in that he's on Netflix. He's in Ozark, which is a great Netflix.
He is so good in Ozark.
Ozark's a great Netflix.
He's great in Teen Wolf too.
He's awesome in Teen Wolf too. I love that show. The other one he was in was Central Intelligence. Wasn't he in Office Christmas Party? No,
yeah.
Yes, he was. He was in that movie.
Yeah,
as well.
He was a star. Pretty much.
Pretty much. So overall, though, for you, is Game Night worth seeing in the theater, though? You know, because comedies can be hit or miss.
No, it is.
Okay.
Because these guys filmed it like a thriller. They don't film it like a comedy. It looks like a David Fincher movie, honestly.
Really?
Just comedy style. It's very dark, very, like, there's a lot of brown over it. You know, like David Fincher movies have that dirty look.
They did that.
And there's a lot of surprisingly a lot of well done shots, camera shots. There's a lot of great camera work in this.
Now, Fincher, I mean, The Game, I think, is a very underrated film in his canon. I don't think enough people talk about how good The Game is. Yeah.
Is that Michael Douglas in it?
Yes, that's the one. Now, Game Night itself. Here's the thing about Game Night I'm curious about. Rachel McAdams is another one we don't see very often. We should. What's the deal with her?
She hasn't been this fun since probably Mean Girls.
Really?
She's been doing a lot of more more serious stuff. Yeah. She is so much fun, and she can hold her own against Bateman. She holds her own really well.
So is she better in this than in The Notebook?
Well, she wasn't. Yeah.
She's...
Yeah, she was in Notebook.
It's a freaking Notebook. Yeah. Piece of crap.
I mean...
Wait,
that's completely different. You can't really... But...
Mean Girls, Notebook.
She is so much fun, and she really holds well against Bateman. They have great chemistry. It's one of those rare things where actors actually have chemistry.
That's right.
Good. Yeah. Now,
because they're sleeping together. You heard it here, folks. Nerdwatch.
First of all, most of the time in Hollywood, if they have really good chemistry together, they can't stand each other off screen. That's normally how it goes.
So how do you explain Harrison Ford and Sean Young? Because they hated each other and they had no chemistry on screen in Blade Runner.
They didn't. That's very true.
Or
Harrison Ford is the exception, because Harrison Ford, you know, for lack of a better term,
is an actor.
Was hooking up with, I was going to say tagged, was tagging Princess Leia.
Was that the same time period?
Yeah, something like that. It's in the 70s.
I thought that was happening during Empire.
77 to 78.
Sure, it's happening during Empire.
She was 19. Let's just put it that way.
Nice.
Yeah. Harrison Ford's the one exception, to be fair. But anyway, getting back to Game Night.
What a creepy...
Yeah, anyway. That was a little creepy. I know. Sorry. He found
Carrie
the one
Fisher
exception.
19? I mean, come on now.
It's all there. Aaron.
And then what's great is the trailer doesn't give away a lot of the jokes.
That's what I'm saying, is that all we ever see is the trailer is he asks if he's bleeding, and then she has him bite down on the dog toy or whatever. That's all we ever see.
That's why I think maybe the trailer might turn off people, because they might not catch all the jokes. You know, all the jokes aren't in the trailer for people to get appealed by it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a good thing, because there's a lot of stuff that's surprising.
So where does it go on the now this is entertainment ticket scale?
I totally give it 4.
You give it 4 stars.
Yeah. I'm totally putting this on my top 10 already.
That's really?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
The writing is super sharp.
Uh-huh.
The jokes are super sharp. The dialogue is sharp. And the camera work is unbelievable for a comedy.
Wow.
Like, really.
Excellent.
Yeah. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Game Night in your local theaters. Check it out while you can. Don't go see Annihilation, apparently.
Or if you want to see it while you can. It's not going to be in theaters long.
It'll be on Netflix USA in a couple of months.
That's right.
By the way, I think we say this every week, but I'm going to say it again. I was going through my Netflix queue, and I just want to say something.
Did anybody watch Mute?
That's what I want to talk about. I have to compliment Netflix again. I don't know. They are building their they're literally building their own network because they are coming out with movies and television shows and reality television.
Dude,
and they're just
if you didn't explain this to me right now, I would not have noticed.
But
this.
here's why I wanted to say this is because Netflix is doing something that Hollywood has failed to do for a long time. Success the movie being successful or not successful, they're letting the artist take control of their vision and giving them the opportunity to put it on screen. And I think that that's why I think they're getting a lot more hits than misses, in my opinion. And I think Netflix should be commended for being able to have people that have vision, writers and directors, and giving them the opportunity to go, here's the money to do this. We definitely want to see a return on our investment, but you do you, and you put on screen what you want. And that is even – that's the one thing that everybody keeps saying that works with Netflix. They're like, hey, listen, you run with the ball. We're not going to give you these rules or regulations to follow. You put it together. You make the movie you want to make. We're just giving you the outlet to do it. And I'm just I think it's amazing that for all – you know, for some of the stuff that's lacking on Netflix, there's just so much more stuff that's great from the movies – to the television series, and more importantly, to your movie Mute. Duncan Jones had this movie on his docket way before World of Warcraft and even before Moon, and this was a movie that I don't think could ever have been made in the Hollywood system, in my opinion.
You've seen it?
I have not finished it, so I can't judge. But I don't think this movie could have been. So what was your take on Duncan Jones's Mute?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was really good.
Another
sci-fi film. The only issue I had with it was that I couldn't reconcile why it had to take place in the future.
Okay.
Because the story is very simple, and it could have happened in any time period.
Right.
So I couldn't see... I was trying to figure out why the story had to take place in the future. I was trying to reconcile it.
Okay.
And the only reason for it is... And I don't want to get into spoiler territory, but what happens right at the very, very end.
Okay.
And, because the premise is that he's a little Amish boy. He gets severely hurt to where he can't speak anymore. And
right.
Because the mother won't let him go see a doctor mm-hmm. to be medically treated and healed, he lives the rest of his life as a mute.
Right.
You know, so it catches up to him when he's, I'm assuming, in his 30s, since Alexander Skarsgård now. And the woman that he's in love with apparently has a dark past, and it unfolds from there. I really don't want to explain anything further than that.
Don't.
But, sure. But yeah, I was trying to... Because, I mean, when you watch Blade Runner, there's a reason why it takes place in that time period. When you watch anything that's set in the future, there's a reason it takes place in that time period. This story could have happened in almost any time period. So it kind of felt like it was just an aesthetic choice with no rhyme or reason behind it.
I do know that that Duncan Jones has commented that he specifically wrote this for Paul Rudd.
He's... I don't want to get into spoiler territory, but his character in particular is kind of the engine to the whole story.
Correct.
But you don't know that until the movie starts unfolding towards the end.
Well,
he feels like he's just this character along the way.
Right.
And then eventually the story starts circling and centering around him way more strongly right. towards the ending of the film.
Right.
Yeah, we'll put it that way.
It's interesting because I know that Sam Rockwell read the Mute script, loved it so much that Duncan Jones said...
That he said, hey, Alexander Skarsgård should play this guy.
I want... No, he said, no. He said, I want to work in this movie. And he said, no, because this part I wrote is specifically for Paul Rudd, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I don't think I could have seen anybody else play that character.
Right. So I said...
And it
actually
shows him having good range, because right. it starts off where he's the usual Paul Rudd, wisecracking, right. charming guy, mm-hmm. but... Again, without trying to get into what the hows and the whatnots of it all, as it unfolds, you get to see a different side of Paul Rudd.
What's interesting about this
you don't
is
get
that,
to see that very often, the stuff he's in.
The alien side of Paul Rudd.
The media for Mute is interesting because Duncan Jones has been kind of revealing what it was like shooting World of Warcraft, and he's saying that he felt like there was kind of a stranglehold on the property and a stranglehold on him. He couldn't be as creative, and Mute kind of became a creative outlet for him. Has that
it definitely comes across as this one's for me.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because every director, when they get to a certain level, they'll make the big Hollywood thing, but right. then you'll see them maybe once they can get a little bit free of those obligations, they right. go and make something that's clearly from them.
Right.
This movie feels like that.
Is this movie worth Is it worth the time to take on your Netflix queue? And
oh, watch? Absolutely. Yeah. It's a good movie. And I've never been... I have nothing against Alexander Skarsgård, don't get me wrong, but I've yet to see him in anything that kind of engaged me like this movie did.
Interesting.
He's actually really good in it. Because, again, he does not speak in the whole film.
Until probably
the very end. But, yeah, he does not speak. Everything is from... expressions, things he does in the, you know, yeah, actions and things like that. His behavior. You have to read all of that in his performance.
Now, this is a slate of sci-fi films on Netflix that have been doing successfully or have been getting done.
I think the timing of it's a little weird to have that movie out though now with Altered Carbon on there.
That's what I'm saying.
Because they almost feel like they should be kinship to each other, right, and they're really different things altogether.
Right. And like I said, once again, that's a television series or a Netflix series, and that has been doing exceptionally well. And what I love
got buried after Cloverfield came out, though. Nobody cared.
Got buried. And what I love about it is that Netflix has been doing. They're not just doing things for the U.S. market. I love the fact they're doing things with the international markets and putting it on the U.S. market Netflix. I love that. Full Metal Alchemist came out. The live-action Full Metal Alchemist.
The Ritual also just came out on Netflix, yes, which is Ritual. Not bad.
I heard that was pretty good, too.
It's not bad.
According to Format, who will be on the next show, said that Full Metal Alchemist is not bad. He said it's pretty good.
That was completely done in Japan, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, we would never have gotten that through the Hollywood system. That's what's,
not like that.
Like that at all. And I think that that is awesome. And then there's another show called Remind, which everybody should see, another television series.
Remind.
Or Netflix. Yeah, RE:Mine, which looks really cool.
Oh.
But like I said, Format said that Full Metal Alchemist on Netflix is pretty freaking cool. So I'm super excited to see that now because I was not a fan of the manga. I was not a fan of the anime. So not my bag. But anyway, I love Netflix. I don't watch enough of it.
Hell, why don't you marry it?
I will. Well, the last few minutes here, last 7 minutes here.
Wow, we barely talked about anything.
Oscars coming up this week. Professor Barry, surprises we're going to see? Anything we're going to see at the Oscars this year that's going to shock the world? Is Warren Beatty going to screw up the best pictures again? Or
I'm sure he's going to go nowhere near the Academy Awards.
Okay, good.
I'm sure he and his wife Annette are just going to sit at home and like, let's just watch this damn thing. I don't want to be anywhere near that place. I think the big shock of the night, in terms of best picture, let me just get to it. I mean, I think Three Billboards and The Shape of Water are going to cancel each other out.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite of the nominees, Phantom Thread, doesn't have a chance in hell. I don't know anyone who even saw Call Me By My Name, even though I've heard good things about it. I think Dunkirk will win probably about 3 or so technical awards. I think the best picture winner is going to be Get Out. Because the last time a horror film, and let's just say what it is, no, it's not a satirical thriller, it's not a social, no, it's a horror film. Get Out is a horror film. The last time a horror film opened in February and it caused this kind of a commotion and it connected with the zeitgeist in this kind of profound way, and it stayed that way for an entire year, was The Silence of the Lambs. I really feel this is that kind of a film. It has become iconic. It has become part of the social conversation. It's a movie that it's everyone's favorite, and everybody has seen it. I think it's the easy pick for Best Picture.
Yeah, I mean, even with the performances in it?
Yeah.
You think because I just can't pick out... I think that the story was really great. I think the direction was really great. I the writing was good. But I don't think that the performances were particularly...
I think everybody was good in that movie with the exception of I did not like the friend in the film. I thought he was a little over... it felt like that he was out of a sketch of a Key and Peele television show. I can't remember his name.
Littrell, right?
Yeah, it was a little over the top. And I just didn't... I wasn't digging that. And I felt like he took a little away from the film. I think he was trying to even out the darkness of the tone of the film with some lightheartedness.
Sure.
And I felt that guy kind of... I can see it happening, though, because, like I said, I went in there with a bunch of preconceived notions. And it blew my notions right out of the water. So, congrats to Jordan Peele for doing that. And I love Get Out. I thought it was a great movie. And you're probably
His
right.
His next film's going to suck.
Why?
Anticipation.
It's true.
You guys are laughing, but it's true.
It's true. No,
he's going to direct Black Panther 2.
It's possible. He could.
That is possible.
Here's the thing, though.
And what you said is not going to be false.
What's that?
False.
But that's an entirely different situation, though, isn't it?
Now, Shape of Water, you're right. I think that will definitely... most nominations, it probably won't win... I don't think it's going to win much. I'm with you on that. I do think that... I do think we're going to have a little bit of a battle in the best actress and best actor category. I love Jennifer Lawrence going on Stephen Colbert's show saying that she watched 3 minutes of Phantom Thread and turned it off, which is really silly. I thought that that was a really weird thing to say.
She should not have said that.
So it's like, whatever.
It's silly for people to have opinions.
She
wow.
probably didn't understand it.
Yeah, no, but I mean, I mean, I understand, like, she. I guess she said she didn't get it or she didn't like it in 3 minutes. And I was like, 3 minutes?
I think
like,
some of these people like to do a little ribbing, too.
I guess so. Maybe. You're right. I mean, she was doing...
On the opposite end, I don't really like Jennifer Lawrence in the first place. So I don't know why I'm defending her. Never mind.
Yeah,
proceed.
Don't defend her. Yeah, she sucks. Anyway, I'm just kidding. Any others?
Chris Pratt.
Do you have any predictions for best actor, best actress?
Well, you know, Gary Oldman's overdue. I don't know if this is the
movie. I agree.
Yeah. I don't know if this is the movie he deserves it for, but I mean, he's a genius. He is an absolute genius. So
yeah,
if they're going to give him for Winston Churchill, why not?
Why not?
And best actress, I mean, it's a tough call because Frances McDormand has done better. And, you know, she already won the Academy Award for actual Coen Brothers movie as opposed to a faux Coen Brothers movie, which is what
she
should have
won it for Dark
How
Man.
How dare you, sir?
She already won for Fargo.
Martin McDonagh, that is not a wannabe. Okay, it is a wannabe.
He is a
Coen
wannabe
movie.
Coen movie. It totally is.
You're right.
He wants to be a Coen Brother movie in the worst possible
way. It does so bad.
So
bad. You're so right. I'm sorry. I digress. What about you, Aaron?
Best picture is straight out of the gate probably going to be three billboards.
Okay.
I think Dunkirk deserves it, honestly. First time I saw Dunkirk, it was hard for me to take in because it really comes at you. There's just so much to take in. But
that's interesting because for as much as I do like Dunkirk, which I do, I think that there was the emotional connection kind of wasn't there.
I had the same problem. Yeah.
You know, that was my biggest problem with it.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with that, but I think Dunkirk deserves it. But Three Billboards is a good movie too, though. I think it's gonna.
Yeah, I think Three Billboards is one of those movies that is
the big one this year with the pitcher, Frances McDormand, Sam Rockwell. I think they're all gonna take it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't know. You might be right. I don't know. The Get Out pick is pretty close because you're right. We could see The Shape of Water and Three Billboards canceling out these movies, and that could be the one.
What about director?
For me? Oh, man. If I had to...
No, for Barry.
Okay, for Barry. Go ahead, Barry.
Guillermo del Toro is, I don't know if he should win for this movie, but he did a masterful job with it, and he's a brilliant director. And he's overdue.
He is overdue.
He's overdue. He's brilliant.
I will say this.
Didn't he get it for Pan's Labyrinth?
No.
That was, by the way, that was in a foreign film category for Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah.
First of all. But the other thing is that Guillermo del Toro, he can't go on much longer because his last film before this was Widow's Peak, which was not great. Crimson Peak, yes. Wasn't great. So I'm assuming with all the fanfare around this, this may be the one for him to get it.
Yeah. Well, neither was Shape of Water. I don't know why that movie. So
yeah, I agree with you. I think The Shape of Water is good. I just don't think that the over-hypening of it, I guess you could say.
Over-hypening.
Do you think it's overhyped?
Yeah, I do. I just don't think it's – just because I don't think it lives up to what people have said about it. But I do think it is a good film. And I think if it's good at all, it's because of what he brings to it as a filmmaker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed. Any other surprise categories you think is going to win or lose? Animation, best animated film?
Coco is probably going to – get it. I mean, I think Loving Vincent is one of the greatest animated movies ever made. That's the one that was it's made of about a couple thousand hand-painted murals that they made into an animated film about the life of Vincent van Gogh. So yeah. It's pretty amazing.
Well, amazing.
I think it's nominated. Doesn't have a chance to win. My favorite animated movie was In This Corner of the World, the Japanese film, which wasn't even nominated. So Coco, yeah, I think Coco.
We put it on our list and it won. The Hawaii Film Critics Society.
That's I think right, Justice League is going to get best makeup.
Who?
I think Justice League will get best makeup.
No, it won't.
Best makeup and hair.
That'll be the Darkest Hour.
But see, I agree with Barry for Gary Oldman being overdue. And I think he will win it this year, but his competition is Denzel. Because I think Denzel was exceptional in Roman J. Esquire.
Roman J. Esquire.
Yeah.
But that movie did not get a lot of...
Yeah.
Speaking of no fanfare.
I don't know anyone who saw it.
That's
honestly.
What I'm saying. No, that movie
it's
got
really
zero
good.
Fanfare.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aaron saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're looking at the guy.
The guy saw this
You're
guy.
Looking
it's
at the
it's
guy.
So different for Denzel. It's so different.
Yeah.
It's and he channels it really well.
I'm super excited to see it. Well, listen, gents, we got another show to
better do. Better than Fences?
Fences is great.
As a movie-wise? No.
For performance.
Oh, performance? Oh, no.
Fences is fantastic. You saw Fences, right?
Yeah.
Phenomenal movie. Anyway, we got to get out of here. We'll be talking about what came out on Blu-ray and DVD.
You didn't ask me who I think is going to win Best Director.
Because most
billboards.
Of us don't care.
I don't care. No, I don't. I don't even know who's nominated.
I know. Don't worry. We'll talk more about this in the next show. We'll talk about what's currently out on Blu-ray and DVD. Bring in some other guys. We could talk about you finally getting your hands on the Florida Project on Blu-ray, by the way, next hour, which is phenomenal. I can't wait to see that myself. Please, ladies and gents, follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/NerdWatch. Follow us on Twitter at NerdWatch Nation. Follow us on Instagram at the_NerdWatch. And, of course, you can download the Maui Watch app. on iTunes.
Maui Watch.
That's right. On the iTunes or Google Play Store. And you can listen to all of the podcasts right there on your cell phone. You can't miss it. Okay?
Or don't follow any of it.
Or none of it. Or go to patreon.com/TheNerdWatch and
watch
donate
to
the show.
Watch a better podcast.
There are much better podcasts, but not as entertaining as this, I don't think. So make sure you guys stay tuned. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in just a little bit if you're listening. So until next show. Are you prepared? We're going to talk comic books too, Todd.
Oh, I got to leave.
Is that what they're going to do?
I got to go home.
You got to get out of here? All right. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we're out of time. And until next week, peace out. Oh, for Gannon, for Todd, for Aaron, for Barry, for myself, G-Money, and, of course, behind the camera and coming to the front of the camera here shortly for Matt. We'll see you guys back here. Yeah.
Ew.
Peace out. Much love. Much
love. I have to clean the lens.
Always stay nerdy. And we'll see you on the next show coming up in just a few minutes right here on the Nerd Watch.